Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Family Talk. I'm Brian McNulty, and today we're continuing a classic broadcast in tribute to a good friend of Dr. Dobson's, the late Dr. Gary Smalley.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brian, as I said yesterday, my relationship with Gary Smalley, from a professional point of view, goes back to 1983 when I invited him to come be a guest on our radio program. He had just written a book called Keys to a Child's Heart, and it was a great success. People loved hearing from Gary Smalley, and as a result, I worked with him through the years. You know, I've been on the radio now for 39 years, and Gary was my guest over 30 times. That tells you something about how I felt about this man. He and his wife, Norma, became great friends to Shirley and me. And when he died on March the 6th of this year, just not that long ago, it was a real loss to me personally. And I know that many millions of people felt that same loss because he was followed all around the world. His material, the things that he was suggesting and offering, were not what you would call particularly creative or even new, but he had a charming way of describing things that occur in every family. And husbands and wives found something useful in the way he brought that across. So it's a pleasure to go back to something that he said. In fact, it was a two-part program. We aired the first part yesterday, and it was recorded on March the 23rd, 1993. So that's 23 years ago, and it stands up. I mean, it's still relevant today, and we're going to let our listeners hear the second part of that discussion. What it was all about was building a family constitution, actually putting in writing, like you would a constitution for a country, the things that you believe, the things that you're going to try to do, the commitments that you make to each other, the rights that are being protected there, very much like a constitution. We got about halfway through that last time. We're going to hear the balance of it today.
Let's do it.
Well, there's so many bad things going on with the family today, Gary. Mm-hmm, we just hear mm-hmm. such bad news. You know, in the 70s, it was said that there was only about one child in 10 born to a single mother. Now it's four, mm-hmm. nearly four. Mm-hmm. There are just so many problems. We could just talk a lot about the negative trends. Mm-hmm, but you're mm-hmm. here today to talk about some good news. We've heard enough bad news, and we want to talk about an idea mm-hmm. that you've had mm-hmm. that actually dates back to the key to your child's
exactly.
heart.
Exactly.
And
mm-hmm.
it's well mm-hmm. represented in The Hidden right. Value of a Man.
Exactly. It's the heart of that book, in fact.
Mm-hmm. Which has to do with the family constitution.
Exactly.
Why don't you just start with the basic concept?
Right. Well, when I realize, as you do, all the discouraging things that are happening around us, I am encouraged by the movement that I see amongst men in our country. And there is that revival. I see it. I feel it everywhere I go. Our seminars are growing. I mean, everything is happening, and I see in a positive way. Promise Keepers.
Let's talk about Promise.
Exactly.
I know it's a diversion, but let's talk about Promise Keepers, which is coming up.
Well, part of what we are doing in Promise Keepers is helping them get excited about getting into small groups and supporting one another in all these various cities around the world. And one of the things we're teaching them to do in these small groups is to learn how to write their own unique, personalized family constitution. And when we see all these emerging countries that were, you know, engulfed in communism, very first thing they do is write their constitution because they have to have some kind of unifying effect. Our own country lives by that constitution. And, you know, they're always trying to weaken it, but, you know, we're living by it. Well, what we found is that, in fact, I jotted down 10 different reasons why we ought to have a family constitution, but the first one is one of the most important ones. When you actually write 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 articles of your family constitution, putting down a simple plan of how you intend to stay in love and in harmony, and you and your wife and kids agree on that plan, you type it up, put it on the wall, there is power in the printed word. You put it on the wall, and every day you're reminded of it. So there's tremendous power. But what happens as a result is that you fall into unity, harmony, oneness. And the scripture says, the first chapter, for example, in Philippians says, that when we are in oneness, it's a sign of to our enemies that they're about to be destroyed. But when we're not in oneness, they have a foothold in our life. I don't think that we can any longer wait for this to just happen on its own, because that method doesn't work. We have got to find out what actually works. And we're hearing and seeing from books that you've written and people we've interviewed that there are some very specific ingredients that go into a healthy home. And some of those we outlined yesterday.
And without that, you got people pulling in opposite directions because
exactly.
they haven't agreed to what
right.
their desire is,
exactly.
what the plan is.
Right, and they're frustrated. In fact, one of the reasons I put down here that you want one is it reduces stress. It builds security into every member of the family because there's fewer surprises. When you've got that document right on the wall, people know what to expect.
You have a list called the possible articles of a family constitution. So these are just suggestions. People
exactly.
may go other directions, but
right.
this is what you would concentrate on.
Well, the wise get counsel, and so they need to get counsel and make sure that this is the right thing for them.
All right. The first two we talked about last time. Number three, we agree to resolve any angry conflicts between ourselves each day before the sun sets. That obviously has a scriptural reference. Do all of them? Are they all linked
yes,
with
they
the
all
scripture?
Do. Yeah. Right. But something came to my mind when you said that I want to mention because I think it's super. In 1 Timothy 6:3, it's a doctrinal verse. We could say it's the basis of a family constitution because don't put an article in your constitution that violates this verse. And there's like two points that have to line up in that verse. The first point is this consistent with what Jesus taught? Does any article we're putting in our constitution violate the scripture, in other words?
Yeah.
And will this article in our constitution, secondly, lead to godliness? Will it really lead to spiritual maturity? If it doesn't, then we ought to question whether it ought to be in our Constitution. So there is a basis. Hmm. We don't want to just throw things in there from selfish reasons or we heard somebody say something. We ought to know what it is. And if we start living it out, we'll see the results in a hurry.
Well, Gary, are they broad principles? Are they just things that bug me that I want done differently? Like a wife will say, you won't throw your dirty socks on the floor. Is that an article of the Constitution?
It could be a sub-article of the honor one, for example. See, because you're really honoring somebody means you're treating them as valuable, a valuable person, highly significant, very important. Well, it makes me feel unimportant when you throw your junk around the floor. Like one wife was so frustrated with her husband, she took a hammer and nail and nailed his clothes right where they were just to, you know, make the point. Okay?
She must have been a delightful
yeah.
lady to live with.
That's right. He wasn't real happy. But he got the point for sure. But you can actually put it as a sub-point that it really bothers me because some personalities hate to have stuff thrown around. I was talking to an extremely wealthy couple recently, lovely couple. But she does not like to pick anything up or have anything in the home organized. But when you're in their home, gosh, it's like being in the, what's that one hotel you can go into, the Ritz-Carlton. It's like being in there in a lobby when you're in their home. And I said to him, well, how come it's so? He said, because I do that. But it irritates the life out of me that I have to come home from work and do all that. And so they sat down and wrote up an agreement based on this very book right here, Hidden Value of a Man, on how they could incorporate some kind of agreement of what this did to him. In fact, he gave her several word pictures that just opened her eyes to how frustrating and discouraging this is.
I assume there's a quid pro quo. I mean, when he gets something he wants, then
exactly.
I assume that she comes back and says, I'll give on that, but I'll
exactly.
raise you one.
Right, and that's exactly what this is. See, this is agreement. This is resolution. This is saying we both can sign our name to this because we're excited about it. Then you've got unity. Then you've got force.
Do you ever need an outside counselor to mediate this?
Absolutely. I am that person for a lot of couples at
yeah.
times, but at times my wife and I go. Sometimes Norm and I go to John Tridd. Sometimes we go to a great counselor in Phoenix that just instantly helps us clarify things. And the scripture says only the wise do that. Go to counsel.
In the early days of marital conflict, you really do have two people who want the same thing. They usually want harmony.
Exactly.
They usually want tranquility. Mm-hmm. They usually want things to work.
Right.
But it doesn't, and they start getting mad about that, mm-hmm. and the boats start mm-hmm. drifting, and then it gets too late to do anything
exactly.
about
in it. Exactly. In fact, that leads to that article that you just read, which is that we agreed to resolve any angry conflicts before the sun goes down, because that's exactly what the scripture says. It says, be angry, but do not sin in your anger. Do not let the sun go down on it, because anger probably, in my experience, does more damage than any other single emotion that I see. I mean, it rips all these families apart. Single parents that are listening today that are trying to raise their children without their mate, this is a key. Because if those kids grow up, in fact, right here in Colorado is an expert in the results of divorce on children, and he told me the last two or three years that a child going through divorce who isn't capable of bringing his angry emotions to the surface, those stuffed emotions in going into their adult years are the very key factors that lead him to divorce as an adult.
Hmm. That's such a fundamental, that
exactly.
particular item of your constitution
oh.
list, because the basic issue in a successful marriage versus an unsuccessful one is how do they manage conflict.
Exactly.
It's not whether or not they have conflict.
They will have.
They're going to have conflict. The issue is how do they manage
and
it.
See, if they put this in writing, and it just fascinates me that we have to go through training to get our driver's license. You can't do almost any vocation today without training, and all that training is in writing, and all those rules in writing. And we go right into our marriage and family, no writing, no constitution. That should be the number one place we start.
What's number four?
This was a real important one in our home. We recognize that all of our money belongs to the Lord. And so we phrased it out more, you know. We purpose to seek His will and wisdom regarding the earning, giving, saving, all aspects of our funds. Well, we wrote our own constitution on what we're going to do with our money, how much we're going to give. Because that was a real issue. There were times where I would see somebody in need and I'd just write them a check, and Norma would see the check at the end of the month and say, what was this for? She'd say, I thought we were going to agree. And I said, they were really in need. And and so we then decided, let's agree on this, because it was a real irritant to both of us at times. Mm-hmm. We agreed on our strategy and our philosophy of finances.
Spending.
Yeah. Earning, spending, whether she was going to work. All those questions enter into the money situation. And when you agree, and if you can't agree, you can get counsel from the outside world, bring your counsel in. Like, for example, one night, Greg, who's here, he said, Dad, I don't like some of the music I've been listening to, and I want to listen to different music. And he said, I don't understand why I can't do that. And I said, what kind do you want? He said, this particular artist that I didn't like particularly, he was out of my generation for sure. And I said, let me listen to it. And I went, And he was really young, probably 8 or 9, somewhere in there. And so I said, why don't you do your research, and I'll do my research, and Mom can, whatever, and we'll come back together, and we'll have a meeting on music. And then I listened to some of his songs and actually loved the lyrics in some of them, and pretty meaningful stuff, in fact. And I hadn't been aware, because I wouldn't have listened to that kind of stuff. So anyway, we agreed on that. It was a simple one. The same thing with driving. We had a driving contract. When can you drive? We had a dating contract. When can you date? That was so much fun. That was the sixth article, finally, the last one of our Constitution. The kids wrote it when they were like 11 and 12, before they were dating. So they were saying to us regularly, and they're 13, 14, 15, when can we date? Are we ready? Are we ready? Are we ready? Because it was right there.
Let's go back to the Constitution.
Exactly. And we said, what do you think? I always thought they were ready. Norma was the one usually would say, what about this? And so it was great, because that was the boss, the policeman, the ruler, and we could just comfort them and say, bless your heart.
You didn't have to completely rewrite it for adolescents?
No, we did have to rewrite it. And we did update it and did change it. And the driving thing changed several times.
But yours with Norma remains pretty much the same.
Pretty much the same, right. It's those original seven things that we did are pretty much in
there. So it's a different constitution for the kids than
for marriage.
Exactly,
the parenting thing. But we were held accountable to every one of the ones that were in the ones for the kids.
Now, what do you say to the kids who do see this as a to-do list, a chore list? Is there anything on there they would get excited about?
They get excited about every one of them. If they don't get excited about it, they don't own it. So they have to see
I'll
the value.
I'll keep my room clean. I don't know. My kids wouldn't have gotten excited
about
that.
Well, you know what? We spent the time, though, for them to understand that. And if they couldn't understand it, for example, we said, well, what do you guys think about just throwing our junk around the house and keeping our toys all over the place? And what do you guys really think about that? I mean, would you really enjoy that in the long run? No. And how does mom feel about junk all over the house? She's more of a perfectionist. How does that make mom feel? Well, mom would say, let me tell you what this makes me feel like. And you know, it really devalues me and everything else. And so the kids finally said, Mom, because of you, you know, we don't like to do this, but okay, we'll do that. We'll go along with that. It sounds reasonable. And then we'd said, okay, if you think it's really something to do, what would you be willing to give up if you don't do it? And they would say things like, cookies at least once a month, you know, or something real insignificant. And we'd say, now, is that really going to keep you? And they'd say, no. So we'd say, what about television for 24 hours? No, not that one. We'd say, well, is this serious or what? I mean, are you guys serious? Oh, yeah, we're serious. Okay. No TV for a night. In fact, I remember the time Greg said, no dinner for a month. You know, he said, I'm serious about this one. And I said, no, that wouldn't work. No dinner for a month. Guys, that would be terrible. I couldn't. That'd be child abuse. We can't do that one. He'd say, well, then at least no dinner for that night. So we all agreed, all right, we'll try. But mom was questioning it.
So I bet she
the
was.
First night that he violated it, no dinner, he was in the next room salivating, watching us eat. And mom said, you know what? This is really harder on me than it is on him. I may as well go in there too because it's way too hard on me. And I said, do we like this consequence for this rule? And they all said, no, we hate it. I said, Greg, do you like it? He says, no, I hate it. So I said, let's throw that one out. What do you think? And they all said, yes. So he comes running in and eats dinner. And we threw that out. See, so you can throw them out right on the spot. If they don't work, you know, there's going to be trial and error, yeah. And that's fine. Uh-huh. The parents don't have to feel like they have to be perfect because none of us know what we're doing anyway.
So next item.
Okay, here's a big one. We further recognize that God has created each person as a unique individual with differing strengths and personality characteristics. So both John Trent and I believe that it's very important to know the basic personality characteristics of your kids, just a general category, because each child should be parented according to their bent, their natural tendency. And I should be understood for who I am. I shouldn't be forced in to being somebody I'm not. They should know who I am. I should balance. I should be responsible. But, oh, I love it when my family knows who I am. So we wanted that as a regular part of our constitution so each person knew who they were, and we wanted to value each person.
What does that really mean?
That means
one who's, as a five-year-old, is inclined to be silly and giddy is accepted that way?
Well, let's say their personality. Remember that book we did, Two Sides of Love, where we talked about the four personalities, the lion, the beaver, okay? Let's say that they're an otter. They're just off the wall ideas, not very responsible, but just fun-loving, and their room's never cleaned up. You know, they don't have a sock drawer. They have sock rooms, you know, that kind of thing. And so you need to understand that
sock
child.
Room.
Yeah, because, see, little otters are never going to pick their – you can have a parent who's a perfectionist who's trying to get their child to pick up the room. They're probably never going to be successful with an otter. So it's better to know who your child is. Otherwise, it's going to create anger and frustration. On the other hand, you have a little lion child, the king of the family. They're going to be in charge of the family. Well, if you don't know that, you're going to be disciplining them more, kind of like the strong-willed child.
Yeah.
You're going to be nailing them all the time. Well, see, if you don't know that about them, for example, again, I'll bring up Greg as an example, but he was a very strong child, strong-willed, like your book, okay? When I had to confront him, it was a three-hour experience. But I knew it was going to be a three-hour experience because I knew who he was. See, the average, if you don't know who they are, then you can miss that. So it's important for parents to know a general idea who their kids are and value that about them and say, gosh, I'm glad God created you like this.
That is the key to everything. I've said this for 20 years. You've got to get behind the eyes of the child. Yeah. You've got to see what he sees and feel what he feels. Mm-hmm. Then you respond according to that. Well, if he's looking at you, Gary, and he says, I don't think that you can make me do that. Mm-hmm. I think I can outlast you. I think I'm tougher than you are, and I don't think I respect you. You better behave very differently than if he's looking at you and saying, I don't understand what it is you want me to do.
Exactly. Yeah. But see, if you don't understand those basic differences, there's enough test books out there. I mean, ours, Two Sides of Love, gives it, but there's others. I mean, there's so many of them out there. But if a parent says, yes, I want to know that. In fact, your book, Hide or Seek, I got that right, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Have you changed that title?
You're the only one that does.
Is that right?
That was the worst title I ever put on a book.
And yeah,
people still don't understand.
It's still the title. That's the title?
Yes, people call it Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Okay, the whole idea is that you can give your child what it takes to get the most out of life, or you can let him hide in shame. I don't even understand the title. But it was a good book.
But the point is that you looked at that child and said, who is this person I'm living with, and I want to make sure that child feels valuable. When I read that, I was really convicted as a parent, young parent, years ago.
So next one.
All right. Okay. This is really important. In fact, this was what my wife said to me 5 years ago. If you could just give me this and only this for the rest of our life, I'd be happy, which was really a strong thing to me.
She said that to you.
She said this to me. So it became a part of our family marriage constitution. And I need it from her, too, but she always gives it to me, you know, it's part of her. But we resolved to care for one another in a tender and an affectionate manner. See, I wasn't very tender and gentle with her a lot of times, and I was more hard side and gruff and demanding, let's have meetings and that kind of thing. And I was really a jerk, basically.
I find that hard to
believe. No, I mean, so many years.
We've all had to learn.
Yeah.
Shirley had to teach me, too.
Yeah. Well, you could have been tough from time to time.
I could have. But I was listening to her, and I found out she was very different from me, which was a real revelation when we first got married.
That's right.
Just how vastly different she was.
But doesn't she need that tenderness from you?
Of course. Doesn't every woman?
Exactly.
You know,
but see, I missed it. And then when she said to me, the one thing I want, please, for the rest of our life, if you could just give me this. So during our move to Branson and all the stress and everything, she'll call me and be stressed out. And right at the top of my mind is ask questions, just learn. Say, hey, if I was right with you, I'd give you a big hug. And I'm just listening. Yeah. My nature in the past would have been, well, make a list and check them off, you know. And
tell her how to solve the problem.
Yeah, why do you let all this bother you? I've told you 100 times, you know, that this is not a significant thing. It'll work. See, that's me in the past.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to do that. And I still, once in a while, and she'll say, ooh, you know. Yeah, in fact, last year at Baylor University, where my youngest son goes, we were getting ready to go. And she was saying something about how she felt about something he was going through there at school, tears in her eyes. And I said, come on, we got to let him go, you know, and, you know, we can't hang on to him forever, you know. Come on, let's get ready. And big tears in her eyes. She said, this is just a year and a half ago now. She said, when are you ever going to do what you teach?
Oh, boy.
Okay, so what do I do? I mean, I could have said, well, nobody's perfect, you know, all that stuff. And I knew what she was asking. It would sure be nice right now if you could just be gentle and tender and just listen to me. Could you hold me? Yeah. So I just went over and gave her a big hug and held her and we talked. But in the past, I wouldn't have done that. But now that's a part of our constitution and it's in my heart.
And just the very process of talking it through and putting it on paper and establishing it as a ground rule puts it uppermost in your mind and makes it easier to live by it.
And it's right on the wall. So what it does is it does force us to prioritize our most important values. And so that's why it's important to do.
Explain to people what's in the hidden value of a man, Gary.
Okay, first of all,
30 pages on this subject. Explain what you do.
The book starts off with showing how much damage we men do in our world. Do a tremendous amount of violence. And so I say men, and I have a lot of men agreeing, saying, men, okay, let's rally together, support one another, let's get our marriage organized in the sense where let's get a plan together, and that's writing that constitution. Yeah. Then we go into some wives will not let you love them. So we explain a wife who is abused. Talk about the gold sword, that's that loving relationship. Some wives will knock that sword out of your hand and run you through with it or hide it. And then there's some guys that never got, we never had the model, so it's very hard for us to do. We need to understand that. Then we talk about the great importance of getting into a small group, a support group, and how to get into one and what to do in one. And then we talk about the importance of going to a counselor, how to find the right counselor, because there's some counselors out there that are worse off than we'll ever be. So there's a certain way to find the right kind of counselor, and we try to explain that in there.
Well, that was a classic interview with Gary Smalley that was recorded 23 years ago, March the 23rd, 1993. And we thought our listeners would like to hear it again, especially hear it maybe for the first time. in tribute to Gary Smalley and the work that he did for many years. He and Norma were married for 52 years, successfully raised a bunch of good kids that all love the Lord today. And in fact, I think there are three of them, and all three of them are working in preserving families and marriage in the home. That's a legacy in itself. So it's been a pleasure to reprise this interview from so many years ago, and we will all remember Gary Smalley with great fondness, and we extend our prayers to his wife, Norma.
Well, Dr. Dobson, I know how much he meant to you. I can hear it in your voice. He must have been an amazing man to be around. I so look forward to reading his book again, The Hidden Value of a Man. And if you would like more information about how to get Gary's book or how to develop a vision for your family life, please visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or give us a call at 877-732-6825. We'll be glad to help you.
And if our listeners would be so kind, the month of April was difficult. It always is because of tax season. But this year, I think the federal government got to us a little more than in the past, and people didn't have a lot to share with us. And we would appreciate just a little extra here in May as we continue to do this work for the Lord.
Well, thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.